Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. I hope everybody had a great Halloween this past weekend. Halloween is definitely one of my favorite holidays. I think it's fun. You get candy, you dress up. There's not the pressure of being around people or gift giving. It's just a really fun holiday. And in my co-parenting blended family, we always dress up all together. And it's been a lot of fun over the past couple years. This year, we did it a little bit different. We did a boys versus girls. The girls are super Frozen obsessed right now. So the girls dressed up as Frozen. They were Elsa and Anna, and I was Olaf. And then my oldest, Oliver, he is really into Star Wars. So the boys did Star Wars. Him and his dad were Jedis. Fitz was Baby Yoda, and my husband was Chewbacca. So I think both costumes were really great. The girls definitely won, but don't tell the boys. And we have a blast. Our neighborhood kept it really safe for trick-or-treating. There was a lot of really fun candy shoots and people putting the candy out on tables. People were masked. So it was really fun. It felt safe. And I hope everybody else had a great time too. And then today I'm really excited because I'm talking about a topic that I really, really enjoy and that I think gets a bad rap. We're talking about teenagers, and I love teenagers. They are actually who I work with professionally. I love working with teenagers. I find them fascinating. But today I'm really excited to be joined by Dr. Hina. You can find her over on Instagram at Teen Health Doc. She is a pediatrician. She is an adolescent medicine professor. Her page has tons of tween, teen, and young adult health tips and teen-centered care and parenting tools. She talks about everything from screen time to medical issues to anxiety, how to talk to your teens, how to find a therapist for your teens. You name it, she's talking about it. And I've so much enjoyed connecting with her over on Instagram. And I enjoyed having this conversation. So make sure that you go find her. If you enjoy this episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support on the podcast always means the world. And I appreciate you being here. So let's get started. Cheers. So Dr. Hina, welcome to the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm so excited that you're here joining me on this platform. Tell my listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here to talk to you about teen health. So my name is Dr. Hina Talib. I am a pediatrician and also an adolescent medicine specialist. So that means I really only take care of tweens, teens, and young adults, which is a huge age range from sometimes as young as 9 or 10, and then going all the way up to young adulthood. And I love everything about this wonderful time. But there's so much to talk about in this wonderful time.
There is. And I think like as parents, we start like approaching those years, we start getting really freaked out. You know, our relationships are kind of changing. We see like the light at the end of the tunnel and it's like, oh my gosh, I only have so much time before they're out. So there's just like so much parent-wise, I think, that goes into it as well. And then professionally, I work with teens as well. I do a lot of like the anxiety, mood disorders, depression. I love them. I think that they're so fascinating. And I really think that they have a really great perspective on things at times. Mm-hmm. And I think that as parents, we kind of don't listen so much.
I think they get a bad rap.
I think so too.
Yeah. And I can understand why, because right. there's so much change and like real change. And so I think it can be jarring for both the kiddo and for the family and for the parents to kind of see when things were kind of in like autopilot for a little while. But what I like to say is, remember, if you got through those toddler years where there was also a lot of upheaval and change and independent skills happening and connections being made, you can get through this too. It's just looking at it from that developmental lens of it is what it is. But a lot of magical things are also happening that are kind of also awe-inspiring to kind of watch and not fight, but just sort of accept and let it play out when you can, you know.
Yeah.
It is hard to do, but and we are always here for support as needed.
Yeah. So kind of tell us about like this developmental piece. Kind of what parents can like be expecting through these years. What are some tricks to surviving?
Yeah. Okay, great. So I usually look at, I chunk adolescent years into three little chunks. So early, which are really what we think of like tweens and our middle schoolers. And that's kind of, that's where it all starts. And they go from, from really being like your kid and sort of putting you at the, you know, family and parents at the, and siblings and all kind of at the center to exploring with peers, and all of a sudden peer groups become more important, and exploring with themselves and their identity. But the chunks are, so that's, those are early adolescents. Your middle adolescents are your high school age kiddos, and those are 14 to 17 year olds. And I love this age, but they think they are developmentally, it's normal for them to think they are invincible. So they are our risk takers, and they really are explorers and adventurers as they're trying to figure themselves out. And so they need our guidance, and they need our love, and they need our, you know, us to be safety nets and to see them through what's very normal for them. And then you have young adults, and they are just awesome. You know, young adults are 18 to 21. They're idealistic. They can save the world. And I believe it. I believe that they will. And they deserve to be listened to, and they, you know, their voice is so important. And you know, they're still, they usually have a good sense of themselves, if, but it can sometimes feel like it's still in conflict with the status quo. And sometimes that's good. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's needed, but they have a really good sense of who they are when you sit and listen to them and where they're going. And of course we can still help and guide and tweak things along the way, but it, so that's sort of the arc where I chunk it in sort of early, middle, and late adolescence. And some people say adolescence can go up to 25 years old or 26. Right. Yeah. And they call it emerging adulthood, which is cool too. So I think that there's a long arc of all of this, but yeah, it does start with those tweens or those preteens. That's where it all starts with, you know, your body changes, and you start to be a little self-aware of your body changes. And so as a parent, when those first changes are happening, you want to be very thoughtful about how you speak of them, because they are so self-critical about their body, and they notice so much about their body because it's changing on them. Who wouldn't be? Like, that is, you know, if your body was suddenly changing, you would be very mindful about it and spending a lot of time thinking about it and looking at yourself in the mirror.
Kind of like our postpartum bodies, right? Like, we get like so hyper aware, and like when people make comments of, oh, you're not dropping the weight, or, oh, you're so tiny, or, you know, and
it sticks with you.
It does. Yeah.
It sticks with you. And so that's why we worry about these young kiddos, you know, on social media or in other places where their physique is being commented on, because it really hits them in a deeper way, because their bodies are actually changing, like, it for the first time in major ways. You know, sometimes they're happy about these changes and sometimes they're not. Some kiddos develop earlier than the rest of their peers and some develop later, and all of these sort of, which are all normal range, but depending on who they're around and how it's being talked about, they, you can have these different feelings based on how you're developing. And so as a family, you know, it's really just to be a little, be mindful about what you're saying and how you're supporting, be very, you know, body positive, be very positive about how they're exploring their gender, how they're exploring just how they feel about themselves and who they are. And they will really start to overemphasize their friends. And that's weird. That is super weird. But that is also normal, because they're sort of taking on these different identities and practicing them and seeing if it fits. And so rather than fighting it, you know, just explore with them, be curious. Well, how does it feel to be, you know, on that team? And how did it feel to be in that play? Or how does it feel to be, you know, at that, I guess these days, that virtual play date with those three people doing that one activity versus, you know, and these, it's so fun to see, to just explore and be in it with them and let them sort of describe it. And, you know, they have all the feels for sure. In the pandemic, these young ones have been the loudest. They've been the loudest with the, you know, this is not okay, I hate you, or slamming the door or whatever, because their feelings are just bubbling out of them and they're just
My husband and I said that like pretty early on, like during the lockdown. And we would like, you know, commiserate. And we're like, what do you feel like is worse? Because we have very little ones at home. We had, you know, Fitz was 7 weeks old when we went into lockdown. So we had the 7 week old baby. We had two toddlers and then the third grader. And I'm like, do you feel like we have it worse because we have the baby and the toddlers and this is just like a nightmare? Or do you feel like it would be worse with the teenagers who all they want to do is like go be with their friends and they're stuck at home with you? Like, I would hate to be fighting the teenagers. You know what I mean? Because it's so normal that they want to go. They don't want to be at home. They want to go with their friends. And now they're just like, you have to stay home for months. I just like, I really felt for the teen parents, I think.
You know, I'm sure the teen parents would accept that, that kindness from you because I think it was really hard for families to watch their teens go through this pandemic, through the start of it, really, that, you know, that first lockdown in a way that we didn't, like, you know, we're going to go back to work someday and we're going to see our friends again someday. But they actually, they lost things that can't be and they lost things that can't be replaced. Like, you can't recreate the play, you can't recreate the sports team, things that they were looking forward to, and they
like
were,
prom, graduations.
It was real. There was real grief and disconnection, and that's, you know, so I think it was traumatic for teens in a different way than it was for grownups, and it's, you know, it's important to recognize and give that
too.
And give that to the parents of the teens who were, you know, like, I also, I have toddlers. And so I have a 2- and 4-year-old and I, you know, it's sort of like, God, I wonder what it was, what it's like when you had, you know, if this and if that, but we're all in this together. We're all, you know, we're all, you know, and I'll say something else that's interesting is I feel like us moms, we are so good at supporting each other. With the baby phase, the postpartum phase, with the toddler phase. And then it just, I feel like it shifts at some point where, it just stops. Like, we stop leaning into each other as much. And maybe it's because kids, like in the beginning, the phases are a little more similar or a little bit more aligned. And then kids develop into their own, they're humans and they'll, you know, they'll have different interests and different arcs and different problems and things. And, you know, some of it is privacy. Like, you don't want to start talking about, once your kids are a little bit more kids, like children and preteens and teens, you maybe aren't blasting out, you know, oh my God, this phase on social media as much as you are with other stuff. Although there are some people who are really funny about it and they're online and that always makes me laugh. But
I feel think that that's true because like teenagers have like toddler tantrums. You know what I mean? Like they're both having the tantrums. But you're not like on social media talking about, oh my gosh, my 3-year-old had this horrible tantrum because I gave her the blue cup and not the red cup, because that's just like normal. You know what I mean? But if I am blasting that a teenager is having a tantrum because something didn't go their way, I feel like it more is like mom shamed. You're a bad parent. You've like raised them to 16 and they're still having these tantrums and like, you know, and it's not as viewed as like normal, but it is still such like a normal process of the development.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I, you know, so I love it when people do talk. I love that you're having the space here right now to talk about teens. And I hope we have some moms listening who, you know, maybe have teenagers or preteens or, you know, are thinking ahead to those years, that we're all still here for you. Us moms are still here for you. It may be a little more private. It may not be as much on social media, but there are groups and there are places and spaces and people like us professionals who actually really enjoy taking care of teens and taking care of families. And so we are all still here for you because it's a hard time in a different and sometimes similar way than the toddler years. That's what, you know, if you could stand back and let your kiddo have their toddler tantrum, there are ways to use the lessons that you learned there, in when you're trying to support a, you know, a preteen or a tween through their tantrum, because they're going to have them. And you know what? Adults have tantrums too. And I've seen adults do that.
I know. And that's like what I mostly like say at home with my own children. It's like, listen, we all have these big emotions. We just like have to start learning how to better manage them. And then, you know, you have the teen years that are rocky and the hormones, and you've got a lot of different stuff in that melting pot that are just like the perfect storm.
Yeah. You know,
but I really love like how empowering you're talking about teens, because I feel like as parents, mm-hmm. I watch a lot that now you're like going through this and you've got this perfect storm and mm-hmm. you know, you feel like they should know better. They yeah. should be handling this better. They should be communicating better. And then you get a lot of like the power struggle, the clashing between the parent and child.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like we could be better navigating that or helping parents through those situations?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it really, for me, it's really all about the relationship. Yeah. So, you know, it's a two-way thing. It's, yeah. And also, yes, we are the parents, and we do have to recognize that, that some of it is a developmental phase. And so both of those things, which can be in conflict, and that's why this whole thing is difficult. But, you know, if it's a relationship, you really have to check yourself before you're checking the kid, right? You really have to practice what you preach. You really have to show, not tell or ask, you know. So when you're, so this right now, you know, self-care is so important, and it's easy to nitpick on other people in the home, whether it's your partners or your kids or your teens, about things that they're doing that maybe not be in their best interest or their health interest or their mental health interest. But you have to do it yourself, and you have to say it out loud. I am going to go for a 10-minute walk outside because I am feeling fussy, and it's going to make me cool off, and I'm going to come back, and I think I'll be better. And just do it instead of saying, you need a break. You need to do this. You need to do that. Start doing it yourself, and let them watch you. Let them see it. Let them hear you. Let them hear you struggle. You know, we feel like we have to keep it all together. I know I do. I feel like I have to keep it all together, but when I do need to let it out, or when I haven't been my best, it's nice, even in front of a 2 and 4-year-old, it's nice for me to out loud say, that was my big emotion that came out. I could have done that better. Let's rewind, you know, and I can walk out of the room, make it a joke, and walk back in and say, we're doing this over again. I'm giving myself a second take at this. Because, you know,
that's really powerful modeling though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it's so funny, even the 2 and 4-year-old, they will, without me having to say it, if I just say, I'm going to deep breathe for, you know, a few minutes, and I'm going to just, or I'm going to do this yoga pose for 5 minutes, and I need 5 minutes of quiet so I can do this yoga pose, but they will do it on their own. And it's so funny to watch, because it's like, wow, I did not make you do it. I did not ask you to do it. I did not say, you and I are doing yoga together, and like, I need you to do it with me. I didn't do any of that. I just did it for myself. And giving myself permission. So I think the same thing with teens, you know, I think it's sometimes it's hard for them to be told what to do, just like it's hard for a 2-year-old to be told what to do. But if you show them through your actions, and if you are able to take care of yourself, I think that goes a long way in what they might like lean to or try themselves.
I know. I think that this modeling is so important from the tiny years all the way through, you know what I mean? And like, if you are not showing them how to be a functional person, how are they going to be a functional person?
How are they going to be a functional person? And you know? I feel like it's, you know, like that's that repair part. Like if you have a bad moment as a mom, what I've learned through this pandemic is it's okay. Like, I don't have to be the perfect parent. I don't have to get it right every single time. But
because, like, you know, that's also so like stressful for them to live up to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if I'm the perfect mother and I'm just like perfect all the time.
Yeah.
Imagine like trying to live up to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're so right that if we start this from the younger ages, it'll carry you through your tween years and your teen years. If you know, one of the things that studies have shown is that in hard times, right, the skill that's probably the most important for a family to get through hard times is communication. Yeah. And it sounds simple, but it's not. Most people suck at it.
It's really hard.
Yeah. And
I look at the world right now and I'm like, we have a communication problem more than anything.
Yeah.
It's like limiting our ability to have compassion, to have empathy, because like, we don't have our listening ears on ever. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the heaviest part of 2020 is just a complete lack of communication.
Absolutely. You know, and communication, like you just said, means listening.
Yeah.
It means active listening. And so I think that that is really important for families, and especially for parents with teens right now, that that their voice is acknowledged and heard, and that you make space for them and you incorporate what their solutions or tweaks will be to what's going on, whatever's going on that week, or you know, like what went well this week, what didn't go well this week, what would you change, how could we do that different. They have some really good ideas and great answers, and so letting them lead the way, and if it doesn't quite hit what you were hoping it to hit, but it's doable, let it be, and let them, you know, let them try to come up with their own solution of, you know, these are.
And it's a problem solving skill. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's like, absolutely, if plan A doesn't pan out, there's always plan B.
There's always plan B. And we have to have, you know, some expectations and some ground rules, but we can talk about it. We can say, this is what I need help with, because I have to work also. So I have to do these other things during the day. This is what I need your help with. And I'm sorry, it's not what we were hoping for. It might be unfair that I'm asking you to take care of the younger one. And that, you know, that's probably not what you were hoping to do this week or this weekend or whatever, but I need this so I can do this. Or doing, you know, just involving them, right, in family tasks and chores. Like, chores are making a comeback. I think 2020 has brought chores back because,
we need help.
We need help. Oh, my God. That is absolutely right. Like, moms cannot do this.
I have my 3-year-old. Well, she'll be 4 next month. And she does laundry.
Yeah.
Oh. She folds laundry and hangs up laundry. And it's amazing to me. I'm like, I really missed the boat with the first one, learning how to do this so young. Cause like, just imagine, he could have been helping me this whole time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. But I love like how you're talking about teens having like this active role and a voice, because I think so often there's this power struggle and that's just like, you know, shut it down. No, you're still under my roof, my way or the highway.
Right.
So I think that, you know, the communication piece is so huge. Now you've got 2020, a pandemic. There's even more emotions going on with teens. And you're seeing a lot of anxiety, depression, mental health issues developing with our teens right now. How can we be better supporting them?
Yeah, that's a great question. First, it's true. It's absolutely true that we are seeing more depression and anxiety. The groups of people, of kiddos that we're seeing it more in, though, are kiddos that already had anxiety or depression in the past, or flavors of it. Or who have it in their families, or who have other things that put them at risk, like they've had trauma or they've had other major life events that maybe put them at risk. So not every kiddo is, you know, I feel like sometimes people make it out to be like the second pandemic or whatever. and it's important that we center mental health for sure. But I think some kids are just anxious, not anxiety disorder, and sad, frustrated, bored, but not major depression. And so I think that, you know, making room for those like just valid feelings and letting those feelings have their like path to express themselves, kind of then lets it burn out in a way that, you know, is really helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that what we can do to probably the best thing is the check-in. You know, I think that like routinizing the check-in as something that you guys do either every day, every week, whatever feels right and normal for your family. Like if you're a family that plays a sport together or a board game together, or there's like something that you already do that's a routine. Build it into that. So it's like already kind of built in. I've heard from parents that car rides to nowhere during the pandemic seemed to be a really fun thing to do, to sing, to talk, to just see nature, and not be in your home. But you know, talking is so important and it's so hard to do. And I hear from parents like, you know, I'll ask them and they just say they're fine. And like they walk away. And so like that, and yes, that happens, but it doesn't mean stop. You just keep asking, and you keep finding different ways to talk, because maybe that wasn't the right time to talk. make sure they're fed. You know, oftentimes people want to talk. Some people like to talk over meals, and other people don't want to mix big emotions in meals, and I fully respect that. So uh-huh. it's a hard thing for me to say without knowing the family, but it's like you as a family know you guys the best. And so yeah. you know when talking or sharing happens. And if it's not happening, then we got to start making it happen. Like, let's all do a puzzle together. Let's all clean up the backyard. You know, I've heard a lot of like home renovation projects are happening yeah. too, remodels and organizing of kitchen pantries and things like that. Like, so whenever stuff is happening that you feel like it's not, you know, what's most threatening is to sit down in front of a teen's, you know, face to face and say, we need to have a talk. Like that is very, you know, scary because it makes you feel like, okay, what did I do wrong? You know,
so it immediately like puts you on the defense, you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
That's why I really like the car rides with teens, like even yeah. doing therapy with kids. I'd be like, oh, I have to like run up to here and grab something. Like, let's hop in my car and like, you'll just come with me, you know? And because it's just like not confrontational.
Yes.
You don't have to even look at me. You're just, yeah. you're sitting next to me. I'm driving. You get to pick the music, mm-hmm. you know, and it just makes the whole environment different. The whole situation
absolutely. It's so much less threatening. So if yeah. you're side by side and working on a project together or playing a video game together, doing a puzzle or in a car, it's yeah. so much less threatening. And, right. you know, and if you've asked the teen's permission, like, I'd like to have this conversation about this. Is this a good time for you? Right. And they feel safe, you know, if like you're not in trouble. I think this is something that, you know, it's a conversation that we need to have. If yeah. you own up to your own struggles, you know, I've been struggling with this and this is why I think it might help to talk. Or I've noticed, you know, the I statements are really helpful, right? Like I yeah. am feeling this because I've noticed this. And so those sorts of things, those are the tips I'm hearing from people are the most helpful to hear, which yeah. is get those conversations going, get the check-ins going, make them routine somehow. They don't have to be big. They, you know, some people build in gratitude with gratitude jars and yeah. three good things. And I love all that stuff. But if you're already not talking, then, you know, let's just start with just, let's just connect again. Let's say that we're connecting. Let's say it out loud. Like, okay, yeah. we're going to have a talk. We're going to have a check-in. We're going to have a huddle. Some people like to call it the family huddle. But whatever feels right and less threatening, safe, and kind of normal for your family,
yeah.
just start doing more of it. And it's like a muscle to be flexed, right?
Right.
Like it doesn't have to mean that you're going to have like may not be up for heart-to-hearts with big cathartic moments every weekend. And that's not what we're necessarily talking about, but just checking in. So once we can get that going week to week, what went well, what didn't go well, what, you know, as a family unit, like we want to hear from you, school, how is it going? Like, you know, it's crazy. Like I've had families pivot from, you know, they're sending them back and then no, we're not sending them back because it's going to close anyway. What's the
point? Right.
You know, to hybrid models, to, oh my God, screw this. We're doing homeschooling. Like, and like, it's so
I was
hard.
On it too. It was, that was like one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. I think was, am I sending my kids to school this year or not?
Yeah.
And
I think
like
it was a really hard decision.
Mind-blowing.
It was absolutely mind blowing for me, and I'm a pediatrician, which makes me like really type A when and over
right.
over informed,
yeah. right,
trying
right.
to figure out what to do for my kiddos.
Yeah.
And so if you're a teen parent, right, like listening to them, I am hearing from my friends and from my patients, my friends who have teens and my patients that they tell you like if they are telling us this is not working. And listening to that, you know,
yeah.
obviously trying to help foster the learning environment. So whatever tools and skills we can do to get the tech right, to get the connections right, to
right.
have connections out of the Zoom session, whatever, all that stuff that, you know, teachers are like God's heroes right now, you know, trying to help us through this. Right. And so they like listening to them, they're learning too, right? Like they might have tricks, you know, 2 weeks from now that they don't have today when you ask. So keep right. those lines of communications up to see what they're recommending. School counselors, God bless them. Like they, you know, are figuring out how to do their job remotely and advising groups and schools and stuff. So that's all really important to listen to the kiddos because some of them are able to say, I've tried this, I've tried that. It's not working. Can we figure out another way for me to learn right now? And we just have to listen to that.
I just love that, like, you keep saying that, you know, and just, like, honoring the child, mm-hmm. their opinions, their needs, you know, they are growing, they are, you know, and I really think that, like, always, even from the tiny years of being like child led and listening to your child and like what they need, because each child is so unique and so different.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. They couldn't be more different. And I don't understand it. It's the same house. It's the same genetics. I'm like, and yet they're totally different.
We have it too.
Yeah. So you have to, you know, it's interesting to, like you said, child led, like they will be who they are going to be. And, you know, our job is to keep them safe and keep them safe, make sure they feel loved and belonged and that their voice is important. But all of these things that we practice when we have these little ones, I think, are really important when they're teens, but it's hard because they look bigger. They look adult-like. You want to treat them as adults because, you know, sometimes we have this, I don't even know what to call it, but this mentality of you know, tough love, not tough love. It's just you expectations. Like, we expect a lot out of them. And I
just
think
like, you should know better. You should be doing this.
Yeah.
And I also feel like a lot of parents of teens, you know, you start getting on the, okay, we're on the track to, you're almost done, you're almost out of my house, what's next? Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents are then dumping what they think that their children should be doing post your house on the child. And maybe it's not the path for your child.
Yeah. You know? I think that's, you know, as you deal with your older adolescents and emerging adults, and their relationship with parents, because, you know, a lot of emerging adults in this pandemic had to move back home. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, you know, when parents might've thought, oh my God, we're done, they're out. they came back because it was a pandemic and colleges shut down and, you know, it wasn't necessarily, we knew that it was going to take a long time. And so a lot of people kind of potted together with family. And that was tough for a lot of people because, you know, for some of these young adults, they hadn't had to live in, you know, they had already sort of developed as independent people. But I think that in all of it, you know, that communication, that relationship, if that's where we start off and if that's where we end up, then I think that's, you know, that's the money ticket there, is to work on the relationship. But it's work, and it doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't, you know, and it can need help, right? And I think that's what I think mental health professionals are so good at. And that's why it's so needed right now, because I think to get us through this pandemic, we need to be able to connect and communicate.
Yeah. So Dr. Hina, tell my listeners where they can find you.
Okay. So I am new-ish on Instagram. I joined in March of the pandemic as a creative outlet, and I love it. So I am at Teen Health Doc. And I share medical updates, health updates, and a lot of mental health, because that's really what everybody's asking me right now.
Right. Your content is amazing. I didn't even know that you just joined in March.
Your
account has, like, you're growing, you're doing great, you're creating, you know, all this original content. Like, good for you.
Gosh. And I love your stuff so much. As a mom, it resonates with me so much. So thank you for validating everything that we're going through right now. I read the pink posts and I'm always like, yes, yes. Like, I'm so glad that people get it and people are here to support each other. So I
love, like, so the mom community on Instagram. I think it's very empowering. It's very connecting. It's very supportive.
Yeah.
You know, where there's so many pockets and spaces on social media that are yucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really are, like, a nice little, like, breath of fresh air at times.
Absolutely. So I'm here for, you know, for teens themselves or parents or other people who care about tweens and teens and want to learn. You know, I try to share what I also teach. So I teach adolescent medicine to trainees.
Yeah.
And so I figured, okay, if I'm teaching this to professionals, this is good stuff that everybody should know, but I don't see it out in the public. So, so I'm here to sort of bring kind of what the ivory tower world of adolescent medicine is to you guys.
No, I love it. You're doing great. So keep doing what you're doing. Go give Dr. Hina a follow. And Dr. Hina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This was super fun. Thanks so much.